GeekCastRadio.com presents the GeekCast Radio Top 100 Animated Series of All Time. Megatron Phillips, Mike TFG1 Blanchard, Kevin Optimus Solo Thompson.
Welcome back to the countdown, everyone. Last episode, you heard the first 20 entries on the GCRN Top 100 Animated Series of All Time list, and today we will continue with numbers 80 through 61. We also have another special guest with us making his podcasting debut on our network, and it is our GCRN UK affiliate, Phil Wheat from Blogomatic 3000. Hello, Phil.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going well, and it's very early over there in the UK, so we will cut Phil some slack here.
yeah, it's now 3:30 in the morning.
Good Lord. Oh, that's right, because we bounce our time forward and you guys don't.
Yep.
Ah, that sucks. And just real quick before we get into the countdown, like Dirt mentioned last week, this end of the countdown, you'll probably notice that it contains a few more shows that might be questionable whether they deserve a spot in the top 100 or not. You know, this is the end that has some fan favorite shows making their entries and some a little bit more bias. I think you're going to notice as we move through this episode, though, that we're going to start moving into shows that are what I'm calling unquestionable or undeniable as far as deserving a place in the top 100. So we should see that trend. Also, a reminder that Steve, Mike, and Phil do not know which shows are coming up next. The identity of each entry is being revealed as we are doing our record.
And that's because Kevin did all the math, because we refused to do it.
Yes, that is exactly why.
Because we're not so smart with the numbers.
So, anyways, I think that's about enough introduction. Let's get right into it with our first entry for this episode.
80. Who's that coming from somewhere up in the sky? Moving fast and bright as a firefly. Just when you think that trouble's gonna pounce, who's gonna be there when it really counts? Do that Care Bears countdown.
So starting off our list of episodes today at number 80 is Care Bears from 1985. Actually, three of us voted for Care Bears. I voted 63rd, Mike had it at 58th, and Steve had it at 78th, so Steve was the closest since it's coming in at number 80. Let's start with Mike on this one. Mike, what do you feel about Care Bears coming in at number 80?
Last episode, I had mentioned that there had been a couple where my jaw just dropped as far as where they fell in the countdown. This one, I just kind of snickered at. So,
I mean, it was not ranked on IGN's list, so.
Right. Yeah.
I don't know. 100 episodes.
Yeah. Care Bears. See, the thing for me with Care Bears is, I guess, because as a kid, I always liked to sleep a lot. So I like my favorite Care Bear was Bedtime Bear. As a kid, mind you, not as an adult. I don't really care anymore. But as a kid, that was my favorite. But coming in at number 80, I can see, because as I said, if you look at it as best of all time, Care Bears was a great show in the 80s. But
I mean,
I'm okay with it falling where it is.
As far as its demographic, as far as age and being maybe a tiny bit more towards the, you know, like a, not necessarily a strictly female audience, but it was kind of one of the better shows at that time for that demographic. So that's why I don't necessarily have a problem with it being on the list. I'm glad it's kind of towards this end. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm definitely glad that it's at least on the list, because I do think that it was a memorable show that deserves to be on the top 100.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't one of my favorite shows, but it was a good show nonetheless, and I did watch it often enough to remember that it was a good show.
I actually had Care Bears, stuffed Care Bears, Velcroed to my wall when I was a child.
Did they shoot rainbows?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Phil, what about your thoughts on Care Bears making it on the top 100? Because you didn't vote for it, so do you think it warrants a spot on the top 100, or do you think it should have been left off?
Personally, I think it's... fine, it's on the list. That's pretty good, but I still think it's a bit high. The Care Bears, it was just to sell teddy bears. It was even more of an advert than, say, Masters of the Universe. You know, it was literally just an advert. I don't think it deserves to be quite so high, but
it did definitely fit that 80s category of being an advertisement. Like almost every cartoon in the 80s, it seemed like. But yeah, I don't know. If it was higher, I would have a problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 80. I don't know, Steve. You had it at 78, so I think that's pretty accurate.
Yes.
We'll see what happens with the rest of it. But I don't mind starting off with Care Bears today. Let's see where we go next.
79.
Halloween to a place where incredible feats are routine every hour or so. When enchantment runs rampant, yes, wild in the streets. Open sesame, here we go! Arabian nights, like Arabian days!
So coming in next at number 79, we have another kid-friendly cartoon here with the 1994 series Aladdin.
What the fuck?
Mike missed this one by one. He had this one at 80, and it came in at number 79. Steve, you had it at 69. Phil and I did not vote for it. So let's start with the people that voted for it. Steve and Mike, either one, why does this deserve
Steve,
a spot?
Steve, you go first.
Well, I think I rated this one 69 because I remember watching it, despite the fact that I was old enough that I didn't actually need to watch it. But some of my favorite Disney movies were the Aladdin series. And I always liked it for the fact that, well, my favorite character was the genie. So I pretty much liked watching this whenever I saw it on.
Yeah.
We should so put in Genie's line from the, I know specifically cartoon series we're talking about, but we should so put in Genie's line from the movie, Phenomenal Cosmic Powers. EDB Living Space.
You suggest that no matter what we do with Aladdin.
I think it's such an awesome line.
Funny thing is, I just watched that last night.
I know, it was on ABC Family.
I have the DVD.
Oh, well.
So, Mike, you think it warrants a spot on the list, too, since you voted for it?
It does. I just didn't... I mean, I just didn't think it would come to... I didn't think that it would be... I didn't even think it would make the list. I mean, because I'm sure there's a lot of stuff on my list, on Steve's list, Phil's list, Kevin's list, anybody's list that has collaborated with us that probably isn't going to make the countdown. I just kind of... Like I said before, what the fuck? Because it's like, really?
But it is a good show.
Oh, yeah, it was a very good show. It was a nice continuation to the original movie.
Yeah, it doesn't fit in with the second two.
Yeah. It's a nice continuation to the original movie. I liked it because it was part of Disney's attempt to, even though it's Disney's attempt to cash in on stuff, but, I mean, they did it fairly well. The writing went for the series was very well done. The animation was good. It was, you know, classic Disney television animation. So coming in at 79, I can agree with it being on here. It's like I said before, and like Kevin said before, for me specifically, I'm gonna have like these shocked reactions because these initial shocked reactions, just because of like none of us outside of Kevin know what is on the list. Kind of like last week when Steve said, "Oh fuck," to Magic School Bus.
Yeah, I don't know. Like for me, I maybe would have been okay if this one would have came in somewhere in the 90s. I think 79 is a little high, although based on the guys, that there are six different people that voted for it, and they had it 80, 73, 69, and 69. Four of them did. So, I mean, it seems like it's fitting in where they thought it would be. I think if this makes it at all, it should have been closer to the very end of the list. I mean, it did win a couple of awards. Again, it's another show that was not ranked by IGN. I just think it's a little high. What do you think, Phil?
Yeah, I completely agree. It's it's too high, way too high. But I mean, it wasn't on my list because it obviously, well, the list was about shows that aired in North America, and Aladdin didn't really, the TV show didn't really air over here.
Okay.
It was one of those ones that was kind of years later was crammed onto the Disney Channel. We didn't really get it at its peak. We didn't get it. For me, it's a little high, but you know, it's nothing I can live with it. I can live with it. As long as it didn't, if it was any higher, I would really have to
complain.
I think if it was higher than where it is now, we would have to really, really rethink this entire list.
Well, for me, I feel like with these types of series that are based off the Disney movies, Mike's going to hate this, but I feel the same way about the cartoon series as I do about the sequels as far as those movies go. I just was never interested in seeing more than the original movie. I didn't want to see a sequel. I didn't want to see a cartoon series on it. So maybe that's just my bias, but
I mean, as far as Aladdin goes, I mean, if you just had the Aladdin, like say Aladdin never was a movie, and it was just a TV series, what they did with the TV, what they did with the cartoon series, I liked. The only instance that I will disagree with you on your movie-hating sequel, TV show-hating thing is Lilo and Stitch, but that's a whole other story.
Well, let's see if we can get to one that we can all agree on eventually during this episode. Let's see what comes in next.
78.
Kevin, I thought I told you to clean up your room. Whoa!
Captain N, the Game Master.
So another interesting entry at 78 with Captain N,
wow,
Game Master. Now... Ooh. I, again, for the third one in a row, this is also not ranked by IGN, so we have yet to have one in this episode that was ranked by IGN. Now, you guys are across the board on this, because I didn't vote for it. Steve, you had it 99. Mike, you had it almost in the middle at 59. And Phil, you had it way up towards your top.
Why don't we start with Phil on this one? Why did you have it so let at second, at number two on your list?
Why number two? Because it's... it's one of the best shows ever. It's plain and simple. It was a great... Yes, I know. It was another, as in as all 80 shows, another advert for Nintendo. But hey, it had one of the greatest premises of a cartoon. You know, who wouldn't want to be a kid pulled into a cartoon? You know, into a video game and run around the world of video games. You know,
it was definitely a unique concept.
Yeah. It was one of those shows for me. Anyway, it was a Saturday morning staple. It was one of the shows that you would get up for and watch, even though you shouldn't really get out of bed at like 7:30 in the morning on a Saturday.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so high on my list, really.
Mike, how about why somewhere in the middle? I mean, obviously you had it almost 20 spots higher. Do you think it should be higher?
I'm okay with it falling where it is at 78. While Captain and the Game Master did have its issues, I will agree with Phil. It was just an amazing series. It was a very unique concept, and I remember watching this cartoon over and over. And like I would watch this in reruns. They would show episodes, but then later on they would show the reruns, and I always loved it because, like Phil said, every kid between since Nintendo came out in 85, but I mean, since the television series of Super Mario Bros. Super Show and Captain N and all those, the Nintendo cartoons, as they're called, ever since they aired, especially this one, everyone wanted to be a kid inside a video game world, and this captured that.
True. Before I let Steve comment, I do want to mention, throw one thing out there. You know, during our first episode, usually shows that made it onto that episode 21, usually like 3, 4, every once in a while 5 people might have voted on it. During this episode, most of the shows are getting voted on by 5 or 6 people. The other 2 people that voted for this one were Pixel Dan from the Pop Culture Network and Christopher Stapleton from Chicken Pot Pod. Steve, you had it at 99, so is this too high for you?
No, I think it's about fair. I had other shows that, in my opinion, ranked higher. I'm not disappointed for where it landed. I do think it is a impressive concept. for a show which hasn't been done before or really since the Nintendo shows. And I first actually caught this on Netflix, the first season. And while it is somewhat enjoyable, some of the characters which I had already been pre-exposed to, such as Mega Man, and where Ian James Corlett's in it as Mega Man.
No, he's Dr. Wily.
No, he's not. That's Scott McNeil. Look it up.
No, in Captain N, Ian James Corlett.
Yes, it is in Captain N. I'm saying I was pre-exposed to it in the later Mega Man series, which had a better voice. Anyways, before I was rudely interrupted, yes, I wasn't impressed with some of the voices and some of the character styles, but it wasn't a bad show overall.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one of the ones that I debated on towards the end as far as when I was trying to, you know, I don't know if I've mentioned this at all. I know we've mentioned that Mike and I spent a good number of hours on Skype just talking back and forth while we came up with our list, even though our lists are completely different, but... I at one point had, what did I have, like 200 or 160 or 150 that
you
I was
had
trying
like 150.
Yeah, and I was
had like 137.
So I kept making cuts, and Captain N was in that like 150. It's just one that I eventually cut for, you know, so I had room for another one. I feel the same with this one as I do with Aladdin. If it was in the 90s, I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think 78 is just a touch too high for me. That's just me. I understand that it's a unique concept, and it was probably one of the best of its type as far as a video game cartoon. I don't have a problem with it making the list. I just think it's just a teeny bit too high. But since you guys all liked it, I guess we'll leave it where it's at, and we'll see if we can get to one that's actually ranked on IGN's list or whatnot with our next entry.
77.
Dashing and daring, courageous and caring, faithful and friendly, with stories to share. All through the forest they sing out in chorus, marching along as their song fills the air. Gummy bears bouncing here and there and everywhere. High adventure that's beyond compare. They are the gummy bears.
So the trend continues with another unranked IGN show at 77, although this one makes absolutely no sense why it was not ranked on IGN's list, and that's Disney's Adventures of the Gummy Bears. This show, I'm going to go first because I have some strong feelings on this one. First of all, IGN, you're retarded for not putting this on your list. And I actually wish it was higher than 77. I think it deserves to be a little bit higher. It was on for 6 seasons. It was nominated for a Daytime Emmy. I just think this was one of the better Disney cartoons of the 80s, actually, of the entire 80s. I mean, you know, there were some other ones like Rescue Rangers and Tailspin and stuff like that, but Gummy Bears, to me, is what kind of turned me on to the Disney cartoons. And it was just something that, you know, kids of all ages could like. I had it ranked number 30. Pixel Dan had it 21st. Christopher Stapleton had it 19. So we all had it pretty high. But I will give props to Phil and Mike because you guys both had it coming in at 75. So it coming in at 77 seems pretty on tap with that. But I want to start with Steve, actually. Steve, this one didn't make your list according to what I'm going off of here. Not a big fan of the Gummy Bears, or do you have a problem with it showing up on the countdown?
I wouldn't say I have a problem with really anything that showed up for the most part because a lot of it hasn't been ranked at all by IGN, and I can see why people had strong feelings for this particular show. However, I had no pre-exposure to the show in the past, so I actually had really no opinion on it. Okay. So I voted on shows that I did know or had at least heard of in my list, and so this one, of course, got left on the scrapyard.
Yeah, it was ranked by 6 people, so that's starting to get a few more than usual. Mike, go to you next, since you had this at 75. Are you pretty happy that this fell where it did?
Yeah, I am. And the biggest thing about this one was, you know, everybody remembers DuckTales and Tailspin and Darkwing Duck and Goof Troop and all that. If it wasn't for Gummy Bears and Disney taking a risk on that show, none of those shows would have happened. So, I mean, because Disney put a lot of effort into Adventures of the Gummy Bears. And, I mean, that theme song, I love that theme song.
It is one of the greatest theme songs in cartoon history.
Yes, very much so.
Phil, what are your thoughts on Gummy Bears and coming in at 77?
I think it's the right spot. It's another of those shows where, like Mike said, it led to a lot more Disney shows coming out. And, you know, it's a good show for what it is. You know, it's one of those shows that, personally, I didn't watch a lot of it, but, you know, it's on my list because of its influence. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy where it is.
Kind of had that good combination of not only, like, you had your, you know, little gummy bears, which are kind of kid-friendly and whatnot, but then you also had that medieval element, which kind of made it appeal to a little bit of an older crew, too, and some really good voice acting. So, yeah, I think I'll agree with it. I mean, I'd like it to be just a little bit higher, but that's more my personal bias than maybe where it really merits. I don't know. But, I don't know. So far, we've had some interesting. I mean, it's almost like we've had some kid-oriented start to the episode here with Care Bears, Aladdin, and Gummy Bears. So I'm just kind of interested to see how we go throughout this rest of these 20 episodes. So let's see what comes in next.
76.
So, doing our best IGN impersonation, we're reaching our second of our Adult Swim entries, which is still not as many as IGN had, with Space Ghost Coast to Coast at number 76. It was on for 10 seasons. IGN had it ranked 37, which I feel is way too high.
Oh, yeah.
A lot like Harvey Birdman, Attorney at Law, which we had in episode 21. Steve, you had it at 83rd. You're the only one in the group that voted for it. How do you feel about it coming in at 76?
I think it's about fair. I wouldn't want it any higher on the list than where it's at. I think this is pretty much the perfect spot for it. I personally enjoyed the show when I watched it, and I probably only caught, you know, episodes here or there when their whole, you know, late night more adult television came on. I just thought it was entertaining having some of those characters blasting each other and having real live people as guests and having Space Ghost or Brack and Zorak attack them. But other than that, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good show, but I don't see why it went on as long as it did, and I wouldn't give it a higher rating than where it's at.
Well, I think my major problem, and one of the things I took into account when I was making my list, is when you look at the Adult Swim cartoons, or those other cartoons that were kind of more primetime cartoons during that set of years, so many of them are basically using the same formula, or so many of them are the exact same type of show, that when I was creating my list, I basically only had so many spots for that type of show. And I wanted to take the best of the best out of them and then leave those other ones. I didn't want to be like IGN. I didn't want to have every freaking Adult Swim show in here. This one, to me, was kind of a borderline as far as if it would have made my list or if it wasn't. You know, I thought it was a little bit better than stuff like C-Lab or, Dr. Katz or whatever, and some of those other ones. I had this one kind of with Harvey Birdman, and I was picking one or the other to make it, and I went with Harvey Birdman. I don't necessarily have a problem with it being this spot, but I would have a problem if it was any higher. Mike or Phil, neither one of you guys voted for it, so let's get your opinions on it.
Why don't you go first, Phil?
Yeah, Space Ghost, Harvey Birdman, C-Lab 2021, I just didn't get the whole concept.
Me neither.
It's not funny. It's, you know, I saw the odd episode of Space Ghost, you know, I just don't get it. I just don't get why they were ever so popular and why, you know, why they even got made, to be honest with you. But yeah, if I think it's a bit too high on the list because, you know, is it really? And I mean, there was a lot more live action. There were the ones I saw. There was a lot of live action for an animated show, but, you know,
Yeah.
A little high for me, but, you know, but we can let it slide for now.
How about you, Mike?
When I first saw this, the first thing I thought of was Space Ghost is Johnny Carson and Brack is Ed McMahon. I mean, seriously. I mean, Space Ghost is this really, like, kind of down-to-earth type of co-host. He does get loud a little bit. But Brack is just this total brash. It's almost like polar opposites, really, because, I mean, Johnny usually was the one that was not really brash, but he was the one kind of more outspoken, and Ed just kind of followed along. But I didn't vote for it because I just, again, I don't think it's best of all time.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, so far I haven't had any problems with the ones we've talked about this episode yet, but I mean, I think they're around the top 100. They're floating around that borderline for me, so I guess if other people wanted to put them in, that's fine, but yeah, it just wasn't my cup of tea. Oh, goodness, where do we go from here?
75.
His amazing friends, Iceman and Firestar.
So our third superhero show and our second Spider-Man show coming in at number 75, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends from 1981, also another one that was ranked by IGN. It came in at 59 on IGN's list, 75th on ours. Only four people voted for it, but two of them had it in their top 10. Let's start with Phil. Phil, you had this one in your top 10. What do you like so much about Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends?
For me, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends is the Spider-Man show. It's there is nothing better than the, you know, you got all how many Spider-Man series have they made over the years? Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends is the pinnacle of Spider-Man cartoons. You can't get any better. From the I mean, it's number 75 has been robbed. It's been robbed. It should be higher.
Well, you did get it into the list with your high vote. You and Scotty Cash. Scotty Cash. Mike, you've been pretty accurate so far today. You had this one at 71. So Phil thinks it should be a little bit higher. How do you feel about it?
I love it for its just early 80s, kind of late 70s, early 80s kind of cheesiness. I love the fact that Dan Gilvezan was the voice of Spider-Man before he was even Bumblebee. I'm going to have to kind of disagree with Phil as far as it being
that is allowed.
The definitive Spider-Man cartoon, because I consider the 1994 Fox Kids Spider-Man cartoon the definitive one. But again, that's just my opinion. But as far as this one goes, it was a really, really happy type of Spider-Man. This wasn't like a dark thing. And I have to make a comparison. Last year, Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions came out. And they got which is a video game. They had gotten all previous voice actors of Spider-Man, and Dan Gilvezan was playing the role of 2099 Spider-Man, which is a very, very dark character. And I liked how the producers of this game had gone back and looked at all the previous voice actors for Spider-Man and saw that Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends was Dan Gilvezan and, like, really happy-go-lucky type of sounding Spider-Man, whereas in the game, the 2099 Spider-Man is very, very dark. And I just – I'm happy where it is. I don't have a problem with it coming in here. It might have, could have been a little bit higher, but I don't think it should have been any lower.
Now, Steve, you're a superhero guy, et cetera. Why did this one not make your cut?
I mean, I've had brief exposure to it for one, and two, I just, to me, this was not Spider-Man. The 90s, early 90s Spider-Man, that was Spider-Man to me. And, I mean, granted, this wasn't a bad show, but it's extremely dated. But it was, yeah. I can see where it made the list, because it is necessary having this show in order to form the later show. So it is a needed part. I wouldn't necessarily say that I would think it's top 100 worthy, but I would definitely say it's more worthy than the previous 60s Spider-Man.
And it is higher.
I was going to say, yeah.
I did want to bring something up since it was our second Spider-Man. and which is the first time we've had a, I think, a second incarnation of a franchise here so far in the top 100. I know we're only through about 25 shows, but any predictions or how many Spider-Mans are we going to have, or how many Spider-Mans are worthy of being in this top 100?
I think if we see another Spider-Man, it will be the 90s one. I don't know if we'll see anything beyond that. And I certainly don't think Spider-Man Unlimited or whatever the hell they called it will be in the list. But I do think the early 90s Spider-Man will show up.
Mike, agree, disagree?
The early 90s Spider-Man better show up, or else I'm going to drive to Illinois and kill Kevin.
Not his fault. It's a collaboration.
Yes, it is. Okay, then I'm going to pull a Jay and Silent Bob and fly everywhere to kick some ass.
Well, anyway, any other Spider-Man besides the 91 that you want to see make the...
94 needs to make it. The others that I know of, you've got Spider-Man Unlimited, which technically was a sequel to the 1994 series. And then you have the new Spider-Man animated series, which was the MTV series. That does not need to be on here.
Now,
and then you had... One last one, and I'll let you go. And then you had the Spectacular Spider-Man, which I have not seen all of, but I've heard great things about it. I don't know if it's top 100 worthy, though. But 94 Spider-Man, most definitely. Spider-Man the Animated Series, better be on here.
Well, Phil, you said this one was the pinnacle of Spider-Man. In your opinion, do any other Spider-Man shows deserve to be on this list?
Yeah, I mean, come on, for me it's the pinnacle. But, the 90s Spider-Man, it better be on the list. That whole 90s period of X-Men, Spider-Man, you know, that's pretty much a new classic era. So if it's not on the list, then I guess it's been robbed. But, yeah, we better not see any Spider-Man Unlimited. Otherwise, there will be trouble.
What did you feel about the 60s one making in the last episode?
You know, it's not the greatest of animated shows, but... It's that damn theme tune, I think, that gets everyone. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's just the theme tune. Yeah, it's not the show. It's the theme tune, yeah.
Yeah. So, but you guys, I mean, obviously I'm not the superhero guy of the group, so I know the least about the Spider-Man franchise. But so far, you guys are in agreement that we've got it right as far as 60s one coming in earlier and now this one and the possibility that we have maybe the 90s one later?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Well, let's see what we go to next then.
74.
So I believe this is the first pre-1980s show to come in the countdown for this episode. We're going all the way back to the 60s here for some Johnny Quest. Now, I will point out that this one did tie Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, but through our tiebreaker process that we explained in episode 20, Johnny Quest won out. I know this is only on for one season. For me, I had it at 78. It's coming here in at 74. The reason... I thought this franchise should be represented somewhere in the top 100, and to me, this was the better of the cartoons of this franchise. So I think this is just about a perfect spot for Johnny Quest. Steve, you were the only one of our group that voted for it. You had it down at 95, so is this too high for you, or what do you feel about this making the countdown?
I think I'm pretty satisfied with where it ended up, just because this show was pretty iconic, and it was pretty fun to watch. Despite the fact that it was severely dated by animation, it's still the voice acting, the plot lines.
The stories are still good.
Yeah, everything was still good, and it still holds true to today that I think I could still sit down and watch it.
We had two people that had this. Well, one person had it at 11, and one person had it at 4. So we had two people that had this in the almost top 10. So it did get some pretty high votes, and... Double D had it right in the middle of the countdown. Like I said, I thought the franchise should be represented somewhere. Phil and Mike, you guys did not have this on this list. Is this one of the first ones that you guys have a problem as far as it being on the top 100? Mike, you can go first.
I don't have a problem with it. It just... I think I kind of skipped over it. And I think when you and I had talked, like when we were first making our list, when we were going through the master list of the cartoons that you had emailed out to everybody... You and I had to clarify that we need to make sure that this is the original Johnny Quest, not the new, not the real,
not the 90s one.
Yeah, not the real Adventures of Johnny Quest. This one, this 60s one, I really liked it because, mostly because my mom liked it. It was something that she grew up with, and it was something that I saw in the 80s in reruns. It was something that Boomerang used to run on like their late night stuff over on the Boomerang channel from Cartoon Network. I'm happy with it being here in this specific, like at number 74. I'm okay with it. I don't think it needs to be higher or lower, but I think it's like it fits right in. It's kind of like, you know, looking for an L block or a line piece.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, I just wanted the franchise to be represented somewhere. Phil, what are your thoughts on Johnny Quest?
To be honest with you, I've never even seen the show. I don't think I don't think it even made it to the UK, so that's why it's not on my list. You know, so I'm pretty ambivalent either way. You know, it's on the list. It's
right.
Obviously,
makes sense. And then, you know, like we said in episode 20, you know, we have people all over the place, and it's the same with some of our Canadian guests and people that contributed. There's possibilities that there's shows that didn't air there, or, you know, obviously based on our location, we've all been exposed to different things, so that kind of makes sense that it wouldn't be on your list. I don't know. I'm happy with where it came in. I know, like I said, it was only on for one season, so a lot of people have a problem with stuff that was only on for such a short time being on any top 100 list. But I don't know, it's just that franchise for me, and those characters are kind of iconic.
Yeah, like, it's the characters, it's the franchise, it's the fact that it was a Hanna-Barbera show, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, this along with any Hanna-Barbera cartoon from that era. I mean, this goes along just with the rest of them. This isn't, yes, it only ran one season, but this isn't something like, say, Bonkers just is the first thing I can think of. You know what I mean? This isn't something like that just gets a one and done season. This is something that they syndicated. This is something that they showed over and over. I'm sure they still show it today on Boomerang, even though I'm not exactly positive of that because I don't have Boomerang. Friggin' digital cable. Anyway, it's just, as we've said, it's a very iconic show, and I think we can all agree that at 74, it's a good fit for it.
Agreed. I'm afraid to go to the next one, but I guess we have to.
73.
Now for the show that could bring the whole countdown to a screeching halt if I get carried away. Coming in at 73.
Yes!
Good old Dexter's Laboratory.
Yes!
For anyone that has ever listened to Tooncast.
Episode 9.
Or any episode where I had to explain to all of our iTunes reviewers, you should know my feelings about this. I will say that it's very interesting that IGN had this ranked at 72 and we have it ranked at 73. It was on none of our lists, and I would be fine if this was not in the top 100, but I'll let Mike go.
Say what you want about the animation style of Dexter. Say what you want about them trying to rip off the Looney Tunes cartooniness style of Dexter. This was
a... Don't ever say the word Looney Tunes and Dexter's in the same sentence again.
Just wait. When we get to Voltron, I'm making another Power Rangers reference. But anyway.
If it's on the list.
It better be on the list. Anyway, Dexter's Laboratory. Okay. You know, say what you want about supposedly where they wanted to copy the Looney Tunes style of animation or the Looney Tunes wackiness. This cartoon was one of Cartoon Network's launching properties. This is what actually kicked Cartoon Network off. When that channel got launched,
wasn't Cartoon Network on years before 96?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of something else.
Yes, you are. You know, this is what kind of launched Cartoon Network along with Powerpuff Girls, and a couple other things. I think having it here at 73rd is fine. It probably could have been a little bit lower, but it's still an overall good cartoon as far as humor and stuff like that. One of the reasons why I say that is not specifically for the Dexter part of the cartoon, but it's for the sub-cartoon that was inside Dexter called Just Us Friends with Major Glory, Krunk, and Val. Was it Val? What? Crap.
Valhalla.
Yeah, it's not Valhalla. It's Val Halen or something. It's a takeoff of Van Halen is what the character is. And I thought that was such a unique thing. And I don't mind it being at 73rd. I know I'm making Kevin's head explode at this moment, but
the only way I would have been okay with this show making the countdown is if it was like 100 or 99.
That's the same way I feel about Family Guy.
The animation style of this show turned me off of cartoons for almost a decade. I cannot stand the look of this show. But
so let's see all the Gennady Tartakovsky shows.
Yeah. Well, it was specifically the look at that time period that you had, just the animation style of like this and a little bit kind of like Powerpuff Girls, but not quite as bad. But a lot of those shows at that time just seemed, I don't know, I call it lazy animation just because it seems like it was someone that wasn't talented enough to draw a real like character design. But I'll get off my soapbox and let you, Steve or Phil, you guys did not vote for this, but what are your opinions on Dexter's Lab?
I like the show. However, I don't know if I don't know if it necessarily deserves to be on this. Technically, like I pretty much like the original first incarnation of it. Then they kind of relaunched with different looks and some different voicing. And since then, I hadn't really cared for it. It was more of those things that I just watched because that's all that Cartoon Network pretty much had. But it wasn't a bad show, but I wouldn't rate it in my top 100 list.
Right. Phil, do you agree?
I have to say I agree with you, Kev. Shouldn't be on the list. Terrible show.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's another one where I thought, oh, what's this? Well, I'll look at the new cartoon. Oh, yeah. And about, a minute in, it's like turning this off. This is awful. Never. Yeah, I totally agree with you, Kev. Yeah, no, shouldn't be on the list.
See, Mike, I am not alone.
But as you said, we're very close with where, I mean, I could see having a problem if, like, IGN ranked it at, like, number 15.
The reason it's this high on our list is because somebody had it in their top 10.
Right, right.
Which I'm going to go find that person and do bad things to them. Anyway, that sounded bad.
Well, it was one of your BVTA guys.
Yes, so. It was. I forgive you, Purple, but that's just a horrible choice. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to get any better for me with the next one.
Oh no.
72.
So one of our more recent entries on the countdown, we haven't had many shows just from the last, you know, like 4 or 5 years make the countdown, and I'm glad that we have Phil with us on this episode, so hopefully he can talk about this show a little bit, because I absolutely know nothing about this show. It was another one that was only on for one season, and if you couldn't tell from that theme song, number 72 is Death Note. Phil, can you enlighten us onto the merits of this show?
Well, Death Note, the whole franchise, if you will, you know, you got the manga that started it off, then you got the anime. It's one of those really interesting concepts. You know, you got a kid finds a book that belongs to death, and you know, starts writing in it and killing people. What's not to like about that? But yeah, it's. I will say the comparing it to the original manga, towards the end, the actual series gets a bit off kilter. But yeah, it was on my list because of its actual sort of cultural impact, if you will. It's one of the, at least in the UK, Death Note is one of the most well-known modern anime / manga going.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. Like I said, and I've said this a couple different times, any anime show that makes our list probably is one of the better animes out there, because not many are making our list. So just the simple fact that they make our list, regardless of where they fall, should be a testament to the quality of the anime. IGN had this one at 51, so they had it a little bit higher on the list. All four people that voted for it had it in the top 60. So according to them, this should be a little bit higher. I think basically what happens here is a lot of us just aren't as familiar with anime, which is why it's fallen down to number 72. I'm assuming, Mike and Steve, that you don't have much to say about this one.
I don't know.
Steve, have you ever seen
about
this?
It.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, unfortunately for our listeners, we're not going to give you lots of insight on the anime, but thankfully we had Phil here. And, you know, like I said, a couple of these animes probably deserve to be probably even a little bit higher on our list. It's just not something that a lot of us watch in our geek group.
I think 72 is a good place for it, you know, to be honest with you. You know, I ranked it higher just because of personal taste, but going off what we've seen so far, I think 72 is a pretty good place for it.
Yeah, and Death Note ran from 2007 to 2008, so that's why I said it was one of the more recent ones, and we're going to stay in 2008 for our next entry.
71.
Like I said, staying in 2008, where this show made its debut, number 71, another superhero show for us. This time, Batman, Brave and the Bold. And obviously, we have our superhero experts here with the rest of you guys. And this is our first Batman entry on the countdown. I'm going to start with Steve, because you had this one much higher. You had this one at 31, which is actually the same spot that JT had it. How do you feel about Batman, Brave and the Bold making the countdown, first of all, and coming in at 71, second of all?
Now, granted, I'm more so a fan of Batman himself, but I think what threw me into this one is, and I wasn't a frequent watcher of the show, because I'm not a fan of the somewhat animation and somewhat some of the voicing, but I was more so a fan of when they had crossovers where... especially this one episode where they had Kevin Conroy playing an alternate universe or alternate world Batman, where he has powers like Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Or not him, it's actually when the regular Batman goes to that world. But in any case, then they've got like Clancy Brown, and there's like a Lex Luthor-ish type character. And then they have, you know, there's a lot of crossovers from guys from the DCAU, and there's some interesting concepts played out through that. It's more light than the DC animated universe, so I can see where this appeals to people. It's not necessarily one of my favorite Batman series, but it's not a bad one either.
Okay, I want to go to Phil next, because Phil, you had this one 66, which was pretty close to where it came in at 71. So are you pretty happy that this one fell where it did?
Yeah, I'm happy where it is. You know, it's Batman Brave and the Bold was one of those shows that I think all the ones that have come after the, you know, Batman the Animated Series have kind of suffered in comparison. But Batman Brave and the Bold, I think, kind of compared to the Batman that came before it, it's a bit more lighthearted. It's, I think I personally like it for the appearance of all the DC characters. That, you know, it's one of the shows, well, not counting Justice League obviously, where you've got a lot of the kind of the DC universe roster appearing, and it's a fun show. It's a fun, you know, it's.
I always like when shows do that, when they bring in a lot of different, you know, kind of a whatever you want to call it. Crossover appearances by stuff from the same company. I always like that.
It gets props from me just for the fact it had Booster Gold in it. You know, that's that episode would sell me with the biggest grin on my face ever.
Worst character ever.
You don't like that character?
I hate Booster Gold simply for what he was in Justice League Unlimited. I hate Booster Gold. But anyway.
This was nominated for an Emmy. Before you talk, Mike.
No, I know.
IGN did not rank this one as you did not rank this one. So are you agreeing with IGN on this one?
Damn right. Before I get into my tirade, I will say.
Is this an ongoing show?
Yes. Okay. It's currently running now.
Okay.
Well, it's not currently right. It's currently in production, I think.
It hasn't reached its end yet.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, I will say before I go into my tirade that Brave and the Bold specifically is for Silver Age comic book fans. They are bringing in all of, like Phil said, all of these different DC characters from the DC universe. They did do some voice crossovers with the DC animated universe voice actors and stuff like that. But And as Phil said as well, it's a much more lighter, kind of aimed towards kids type of show. I actually prefer, outside of Batman the Animated Series, which is above everything else for, I think, anybody, I actually prefer The Batman to this show for one simple reason. You have fucking Oswald from Drew Carey, also known as Lawrence from Office Space, as the voice of Batman. You have Diedrich Bader voicing Batman, and I cannot shake that.
Well, that kind of leads me in, since you mentioned The Batman, it leads me into another question. I want to ask the same question I asked with Spider-Man. Since this is the first Batman, and there's been so many different versions or incarnations of Batman cartoons, starting with Steve, how many Batman shows warrant a spot in our top 100?
Honestly, I would say that obviously Batman the Animated Series or the New Adventures of Batman and Robin, basically the same show, I would say that would have to rank much, much higher than any other Batman show. If there's going to be another Batman in here, I would say the Batman would be good too. Although I've had brief exposure to it, I would say that it is kind of a happy medium between the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I still prefer Batman the Animated Series overall, and I really hope that that's at least in the top 10.
Phil, how many Batman series deserve a spot?
I think, you know, beyond this one, we should definitely see Batman the Animated Series. Maybe Batman Beyond, but other than that, I think another two tops. I don't think the Batman would rate higher than Raven the Bold. I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, we definitely must see the animated series somewhere. Like I say, it's got to be towards the top of the list. But other than that, Batman Beyond, that's about it, I think.
So yeah, besides.
I forgot Batman Beyond as well. Yeah, I'd have to say that would have to rank up there with Batman the Animated Series.
Mike?
For me, it's a given for us that are into the DCAU specifically. BTAS, Batman Beyond. Outside of those two, I would like to see The Batman, but if Brave and the Bold is coming in at
71,
I don't know. I mean, the Batman had really good storytelling because it had some of the same writers and producers from the DC Animated Universe. It had, like, Alan Burnett and stuff like that, but I don't know if it really ranks as best of all time, being higher up on the list. The other one I would really like to see is the 60s, 70s, like, Casey Kasem as Robin, the New Adventures of Batman or whatever. Not the BTAS version, but the...
Right, I know which one you're talking about.
The Adventures of Batman and Robin, that's what it is. The older one with Adam West and Casey Kasem, the animated versions, kind of like with the Scooby-Doo movies. I would like to see that come somewhere. I don't know if it will, obviously, but I think just because that was one of the... I mean, just like the 60s Spider-Man one was its first, I think that the Batman Adventures from the 60s should also come into play on the countdown somewhere.
It should be interesting to see how the rest of, you know, these bigger franchises like Spider-Man or Batman play out. And obviously it's going to take until we're all the way through the countdown where we can really reflect on some of them and the placements. But it should be interesting to see. But let's see where we go next.
70.
So I find it interesting that in between those last two superheroes, we went from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends to Batman Brave and Bold. In between, we had a 60s series in Johnny Quest. We had Dexter's Lab from Cartoon Network. We had an anime in Death Note. And now we go to Nickelodeon, and anyone born in the 80s or 90s had to have recognized the theme that just played. Coming in at number 70 and starting our next 10 here is the 1991 series that basically lasted for the entire decade of the 90s, Doug. Before I let anyone talk, this was on, you know, for the entire decade. I do not understand how IGN did not have this in their top 100.
Really?
Now, I don't know if it aired everywhere or, you know, if this was more of a strictly U.S. thing or not. I had it at 67. Steve, you had it at 64. Mike, you had it a little bit higher. Double D had this as his number one, which that might be a little bit high. But I can't fathom why this didn't make IGN's list. Mike, why don't you go first?
To be fair, in Double D's defense, he is Canadian, so...
I don't know how that changes anything.
Anyways, I mean, as far as having it number one, but yeah, Doug, one of the what was his
dog? I'm gonna have that theme song in my head now for a while.
Yeah, what was his dog's name?
Don't ask. Yep. I don't know. I'll think of it while you continue.
Yeah,
hot roast or just something.
The whole. I mean, back then in '91, I mean, Nickelodeon was just launching into their popularity, and this was, I believe, this was one of their very first animated series. Don't quote me on that, but I believe this was one of their very first. And again, this is something, as Kevin said, that ran the entire decade. It, it launched Nickelodeon into what Nickelodeon would become. It's a very interesting cartoon because you have, like, normally you'll have cartoons like quote unquote girly cartoons with them writing in a diary or something or other. This one, you have a high school kid or a middle school kid talking in his journal and having adventures with himself and with his dog, which I still can't think of the damn dog's name.
Pork Chop.
That's what it was. Yeah, Pork Chop.
It was almost like it was a live-action show, but in cartoon form. Like, it was something that could have been done by real live actors.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, was this not something that was shown in the UK, or did you just not care for it?
It was shown. You know, I'll give it props for the fact it ran for so long, but if Doug was a person, I would want to punch him in the face.
That's true. I did not like the character of Doug. The only reason I actually didn't even like this show that much. For me, it was the longevity that got it a spot on my list.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, you've got to respect anything that lasts that long, but to be honest with you, it's one of those shows where I can take it or leave it. For me personally, it compared to what we've already seen so far, it's a little high on the list, even though, you know, it was quite successful. But, yeah, not one for me, definitely. Not one for me.
Gotcha. Steve, right or wrong place on the list?
I would say it's about right. I mean, granted, I only saw the first couple seasons, and I actually didn't know it ran that long. Until I caught a couple episodes later, and I am definitely glad to see it hit the IGN, or not hit the IGN, but glad that it hit our list, and unlike IGN, and, I mean, overall it was a good show, but it had its moments where it just was kind of like, meh, but for the most part it was good.
For being on so long, it didn't get a lot of critical acclaim. I mean, it only got one Daytime Emmy nomination for having 7, 91 to 99, which might speak a little bit to it. I do want to ask a question, though, since this is one of our first of this type of Nickelodeon show. Mike, I'll start with you. Do you expect the other Nickelodeon shows anywhere on this list as far as, like, Bobby's World or Rugrats or any of those other ones that were in that same time period?
Bobby's World was Fox Kids.
Oh, what am I thinking of the other one that was on Nickelodeon? Rugrats, Doug, and...
Oblongs or Odd Parents or something.
Do you expect to see some of those other...
Rocko's Modern Life, that was the other Nick show.
Okay.
See, that's the thing, though. As I hate to keep repeating myself, because Kevin is the only one that knows the actual master list. At this point, my expectations are out the window. Like, I expect certain things to be on this list, or else, you know, I'm going to go on a hunting spree. But as far as, like, other Nickelodeon shows, I just don't know. I would expect, you know, maybe, like, some more iconic Nickelodeon cartoons type stuff. Like, I don't think Rugrats deserves to be on this list, because I don't see it as best of all time. But, I'm happy with where Doug falls, and I just don't know what else to expect at this point.
Anyone else? Any thoughts on the Nickelodeon shows before we move on?
I'm almost scared to see what does show up. just because, I mean, if Doug's hitting this low, I'm wondering what we're going to be screwed with later. But... because not a lot of the other shows that are on Nickelodeon's cartoon lineup are very good. It has a select few in the early 90s as far as that's concerned, and the rest of them kind of go down the crapper. So I'm really scared to see if any of the other ones show up.
Phil, any opinions on Nickelodeon shows?
I agree with Steve. The Nikos have not really that good. If we did see any, I could possibly guess at Rugrats, but I don't think it should be. Rugrats should anyway be anywhere higher than Doug. So,
right. I kind of feel the same way. I mean, to me, this is like almost the opposite of some of the other channels where I expect to see a few more, like, you know, like a Disney Channel or whatever with some of the quality shows they had. To me, Nickelodeon was none of the shows on Nickelodeon were shows that I ever really got into. So we'll see. We'll see what comes up, and we'll also see what comes in next.
69.
Wherever there is danger, he'll be there. He's the ace, he's amazing. He's the strongest, he's the quickest, he's the best.
I am extremely happy that this show made the countdown. I would have liked to see it just a teeny tiny bit higher if you didn't tell from that theme song there. Number 69 is Danger Mouse, and I think it's very fitting that we have Phil on this episode with us to talk about Danger Mouse. So I'm going to let him talk first about the show that was on for 10 seasons. Phil, your opinion on Danger Mouse, and is this too low, or should this be higher?
For me, this should be higher, but then it's a very British show. You know, it's over here, it is an institution. It's, you know, it kind of ranks up there with things like, you know, for an animated show, it does rank up there or with like Fawlty Towers, that kind of sitcomish type thing. It's too low. It's a great show. I mean, come on, the theme tune is amazing. I have often been compared to Penfold, but let's just leave that behind. but yeah, no, it's one of, you know, it was a nominee for, you know, BAFTA awards. It really should be higher on the list. It's for you know, if we're talking about animation and where it stands in a cultural impact, I suppose in the US not so much, but over here, I think it should be higher. But yeah, you know, IGN ranked it 62nd, so we're not that wrong, you know.
Yeah, I love the writing on this. I think it's one of the best written cartoons, definitely of its era. Just super funny, easy to watch today, as easy to watch today as it was when I was a kid. Mike, you had this one at 97, so is it too high for you?
No, I'm perfectly happy. Again, as I've said before, and I'm sure I will repeat myself in saying this, the way I ranked my list is like what I think deserves to be higher in my own personal list, and I'm glad that it made 69. I actually love Danger Mouse. Like Phil said, the theme song is just great. It's very, very catchy, and just it along with a couple of the other shows from this era is just, it's good TV.
Well, I think what hurt Danger Mouse as far as our countdown, number one, we have a few younger people in our list, and they probably just don't know of Danger Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a feeling some other people, it's kind of like one of those shows, at least for us in the United States, for some people, they might have just forgotten about it, or it might have just flown under the radar a little bit. I think 69 does not do it justice as far as the quality of the show, but I'm not surprised that more people didn't vote for it, just because I just think it's one that some people may have forgotten about or just didn't think about. But I will say, you know, Phil and Christopher from Chicken Pop Pod had it in their top 30. Flava Dave had it in his top 10. So, I mean, it is a really good show. I am very happy that it made the list. I'm actually happy that it made the list at least in the 60s rather than the 70s, 80s, or 90s. Like Phil said, I could see an argument for it being even higher, but I'm glad it at least broke into the 60 mark, even if it was just at 69. Steve, is this not something you were exposed to?
No, not really. Until I listened to Tooncast, I had never actually heard of it.
Yeah.
You know what would have been really funny if this came in at 71 because it was episode... No, if this had come in at 72 because it was episode 72 of Tooncast.
All right, Rain Man.
Shut up.
Definitely Kmart brand, definitely.
But we've been going all over the place. I mean, it's like from anime to like 60 shows to now this more, you know, I like how much diversity we've been seeing in these last 10 or so shows. And what do we have, about 8 or 9 more left of this episode? So let's see where we go with the rest of them.
68.
So IGN had this one at 26. All four people that voted for it on our countdown had it between 22 and 30. It comes in, though, at 68, since there was only four people that voted for it, and that is The Critic at 68. I'm going to let Steve start because he had this one, obviously, like I said, everybody that voted for it had it in the 20s or 30s. So, Steve, why The Critic in the top 100?
Well, for one, I never realized that John Lovitz was in this. I mean, granted, I don't like a lot of the stuff he's been in, but I find him annoying enough that he's entertaining, if that makes any sense whatsoever. I like the mockumentary-type movie critic feel that's in this show. I don't know. It's just, even though it lasted two seasons, I mean, there were so many funny parts and random celebrities showing up, even though it wasn't really celebrities. It was just voice actors pretending to be them. And he'd get his ass kicked almost all the time. And especially the ending was very iconic because in every ending was kind of like every intro to The Simpsons. Well, every outro to The Critic was different, and it always ended with him in a movie theater. And he would say some random corny line or some kind of a stupid thing would happen to him in the movie theater.
So, in your opinion, it does deserve a spot in the top 100?
I would definitely think so.
Does it deserve a higher spot?
I would say no. I would say I think it fits right where it's at.
Okay. Mike or Phil, any thoughts on The Critic? I am not familiar with this show, so I'm not going to try to sound ignorant and say anything about it. But do either
Why
of
don't
guys...
you go first, Phil?
Thanks. Yeah, The Critic's one of those shows where I caught a few, but like Doug, he was just an annoying character. You know, I wasn't really... We actually had that on a double bill with... Is it Dr. Katz?
Probably.
It should be lower, but hey.
I mean, it's hard for me to judge. I mean, it seems like so many people had it very high, so it seems like maybe it was a good show, but it was one for me that I just must have missed somehow, because I don't even know if I've ever seen an episode. It was only on for two seasons, 94, 95. I don't know. I guess I just missed it, but I'm sure Mike has some thoughts on this one.
The Critic was something that Fox launched to capitalize on The Simpsons' popularity in the 90s. It was something to follow The Simpsons, and it actually did follow The Simpsons a couple of times. When I said earlier, you know, whatever, I was actually trying to mimic John Lovitz's sound effect because I did know that The Critic was John Lovitz, and I've never liked him. I think there's only one movie I've liked him in, and that was High School High. Other than that, he's just not a comedian that I do find him funny, but he's just not someone that I find very interesting. I will say that I do like the style of the show, kind of like mocking Siskel and Ebert and all that stuff, and mocking movie critics. But I'm so glad it's coming in at 68 rather than 26 on that dumb IGN list.
I do think 26 is a little high.
Yeah, it's a little high for this show. This show does not.
It was not on very long, and it seems like it has a... I'm not saying that there's not people out there. Obviously, Steve likes it, and there is a group of people out there, but I just think it didn't have that broad, across-the-spectrum popularity that makes it warrant a top 30 selection like IGN did. I mean, it probably deserves a spot in the top 100, I'm guessing, but again, I haven't really seen it, so.
Like I said, I'm kind of happy it landed where it did. I mean, it's not one of the greatest shows, and it should by no means be in the top 30. The only reason it was in mine was because I had a select set of shows that I thought were important enough that they should be on the list, and so, looking back at their list, I by no means think that this should be in the top 30. It's definitely where it should be.
Well, and the other thing is, with so many of us voting, and I did this occasionally too, there was some shows that I voted higher than I would, just because I felt like too many other people would either forget about them or ignore them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just kind of a little strategy, I guess. But I don't know. So I have no problem with you voting it where you did if you thought it deserved a spot, because obviously, you know, you helped it make at least the top 100.
68 is okay. I think it probably could have been a little bit lower. Like, say, if you switch SWAT Cats in this, Mm-hmm. I would be much happier with that. But I mean, for what our countdown has been so far, 68's okay with me.
Sounds good.
67.
Hey, paisanos, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show!
With the Mario Brothers and Plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If you think it's in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others, you'll be hooked on the brothers.
So another unranked IGN lister. I find it interesting that both of these shows made it in this episode, and I want to hear some comparison between the two. Coming in at 67, everybody knows that theme song, the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Again, only on for one season, not ranked on IGN's list. It was on all of your guys' lists. It did not make my list, just like Captain N didn't make my list. Neither one of them made the cut for me. Let's start with Steve. You had it at 62nd, which is pretty close to where it falls at 67. How do you feel with, one, Super Mario Brothers Super Show making the list, and two, where it falls in comparison to Captain N?
I definitely like this show a lot better than I liked Captain N. I definitely feel that it should be exactly where it is, much higher than that. I always liked the voice cast. I always thought that the isn't this the one where they had the live action pieces in it?
Yeah,
that's what I thought. And I always liked that feature as well, despite the fact that the live action pieces were kind of goofy. I did like at least seeing the people that were voicing the characters in the episodes.
Mike, compared to Captain N, and also you had this ranked a little bit higher in the 40s, do you feel like it should be higher, or is it in the right spot?
The Nintendo cartoons in general are a certain niche. I mean, back then, I think you had to have been a fan of video games. You had to be a fan of Nintendo to really get into these, and I love all of the Nintendo cartoons. I'm glad it's higher than Captain N, because it deserves it. Okay, then. All right. I think the universe over there in the UK just exploded. But one of the reasons why I'm glad it's higher than Captain N, because Mario is Nintendo's flagship character. He's the go-to guy. And having Captain Lou Albano, I think that's how it is.
Lou Albano.
Albino, whatever.
No, not albino.
Yeah, lovely. Whatever. You know what I mean? Having Captain Lou as the live-action Mario may Captain Lou rest in peace. And just having those live-action segments, again, it was part of that thing where it felt like a Muppet Show or a Saturday Night Live type of deal, because you had the live action bits and then you would cut to a skit. But in this case, you would cut to a cartoon episode. Even though it was only on one season, it had 52 episodes, and it was I really, really enjoyed it. And now Phil can disagree with everything I just said.
Which I will do. Thank you. No, for me, yeah, fair enough. Mario is Nintendo's flagship character, but the show was just, I think, all the Super Mario Brothers cartoons were a little too childish for me at the time. You know, Captain N, I would much rather have seen Captain N up at 67 and Super Mario down the other end. But, you know, it's Nintendo. As long as the Nintendo show's on the list, I'm a happy bunny.
There you go. I'm going to agree with Phil, and we'll split 50-50 on this one. I think Captain N was a better show. And the reason I say that, I got super excited when the Super Mario Brothers Super Show came out on DVD, and I was all stoked to check it out. And I remember one of my friends got it, and we went over to his house to try to watch it, and it was god-awful compared to what I remembered it being.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not dated and it's not a bad cartoon, but just its iconicness of what it is.
Well, and I'm not surprised, because the list of people, you know, the group of, somebody just died in the background. The group of people that came up with this show are admittedly geeks. Like, we're a geek network. And so the fact that Mario made the list should not surprise anybody, because it's right up all of our alleys as far as video gaming and, you know, Nintendo's, like you said, flagship character. So I think it came in just based on the fact that we're all geeks and that's our type of thing. But I honestly agree with Phil. I think Captain N, if you're just judging it on a quality of cartoon, Captain N was a better cartoon, in my opinion. So I think we're going to split 50-50, and two of us will say Captain N's better, and two of us will say Super Mario's better. I'm glad neither one of them is any higher than they are, though. I actually think 67 and 78 are a little too high for both of them. But so let's see where we go with the... Oh, wow.
66.
Like fire across the galaxy, the Clone Wars spread.
So I guess it is fitting that this one comes in at 66, and hopefully some of you will understand that. We have the 2003 Clone Wars coming in at 66. Do we, any, hopefully you guys get that, right?
I get Order 66. Order. I get it.
Okay. Now,
Access
just
Order 66.
To clarify this is the 2003. The title is just Clone Wars. This is the Tartakovsky one, or however you want to say it, so you're not confusing it, since there was two Clone War cartoons. It was on for three seasons. IGN actually had this at 21.
Boo.
I had it at 36. Mike, you had it at 85. Steven, Phil did not have this anywhere. Dodd had it in the top 15. One, two Emmys, one an Annie. I'll let Mike start, since you had it at 85. Is this too high for the 2003 version?
Well, to be fair, Mike the Birdman Dodd only ranked like 40-something cartoons, so him having it 14th...
He is a Star Wars buff, so...
Yeah. I vaguely remember seeing this back when it was on Cartoon Network. I never actually got into it. I haven't gotten into any of the Star Wars... I know I want to get into the other one, the 2008 one, The Clone Wars, because that's supposed to... what I've seen of it is supposed to be really good, but this one... It was okay. It was just another way for them to capitalize. I believe Attack of the Clones either was coming out or just came out. I don't remember.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head. Yeah, it was about the same time that Attack of the Clones was out in theaters, I believe. And it was okay. The Clone Wars is a significant improvement over Clone Wars, Star Wars, Clone Wars. But it's all right for what it is being a Cartoon Network show.
Yeah, Attack of the Clones came out in 2002, so this was just a year later.
Yeah.
In that inner time. So as far as your opinion goes, since we're on you right now, you think the 2008 version should rank higher?
Oh yeah, most definitely. That has from like I said, I have not been keeping up with it, but just from what I've been hearing from other people and from what I've seen of like clips and stuff, much better storytelling in the 2008 cartoon.
Yeah, I ranked this one 36, but I'm not upset that it came in at 66. Well, first of all, because it's a cool number for it to come in, but I'm not upset with it being in the 60s. I agree with you. I think 2008 should be higher than this one. Steve, you didn't vote for either one of them. Are you? Have you been exposed to either one, or do you have any opinions on which one's better, even though you didn't vote for this one?
I would honestly say that the second one, the 3D animated one, is better. Although I have not seen either one, I would say, based on some of the stuff that I have seen of it, I would say that the newer one is much better. I hate this animation style for sci-fi shows.
I do too.
I do like the fact, I mean, I can kind of see where this ranks in there, because they do have a lot of famous voice actors and voice actresses. Mm-hmm. They do have the original C-3PO voice. I mean, so I can see where some of this kind of fits in there a little bit, but overall, I don't think that this belongs in the list.
Okay. So in your opinion, we should only have one Clone Wars on the list?
Yes, and I think it should be the newer one.
Phil, how about you? Any opinions on both of the Clone Wars cartoons?
Yes, they should all be shot. No,
that too.
Come on, seriously. This one is awful. The newer one is okay, but as a Star Wars, how do you put this? Sort of a classic Star Wars fan, I refuse to watch them on principle.
Okay, just you're like, not a fan of the newer stuff.
Give me Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, Return of Jedi. Anything else? Well, maybe, okay, Ewoks. We'll let that in, but, you know, that's about it.
I seriously hope Droids and Ewoks did not make this list. Oh my god, if that cartoon's on here, I'm going to seriously hit somebody.
I think that would be an improvement over this.
That would make up.
It would.
I think that would be on like the worst 100 cartoons of all time.
We should do that next.
Oh my god, that would be like more cartoons. It would be more than 100.
But we'd have to label it as IGN's list.
There we go. On that note,
65.
1, 2, 3.
Wait there. Man, I'm pretty.
So apparently this episode is Mike's episode, since coming in at 65 is none other than Johnny Bravo. Apparently 4 spots away from where Mike wanted it to come in at 69. Steve, you had it in the 60s too, so I'll let you two take over. 4 seasons of Johnny Bravo. I hate this show. It was 71st on IGN's ranking. Mike, your opinion?
Johnny Bravo... And Johnny Bravo was the other cartoon that I was going to mention earlier when we were talking about Dexter. Johnny Bravo, Powerpuff Girls, and Dexter's Laboratory launched Cartoon Network. That's just what got that channel going, is those 3 cartoons. And Johnny Bravo, the voice acting was pretty good with it. I mean, you have Jeff Bennett as Johnny, which is very interesting. It's basically about a guy who thinks he's all that, and he really isn't, and he can't get laid. I mean, that's the simplest synopsis of the show.
He thinks he's God's gift to ladies.
If it had to make the list, I guess I would have rather it been in the 90s or maybe even the 80s, but there was 4 people that had it in the top 50, so I'm glad it at least didn't make that. Steve, 65, a good spot for Johnny Bravo?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's pretty close to nice in between. I would not give it a 40s or any higher. I don't think it deserves that. Although it was mildly entertaining for what it was, I wouldn't give it any higher than that.
On my list, I'd put this one right next to Dexter. One would be 99 and one would be 100. Phil, any thoughts on Johnny Bravo?
Yeah, I hate to repeat myself, but I would like to punch Johnny Bravo in the face. No, it's one of those shows. I think it's a kind of take it or leave it thing. And for me, I left it. It didn't do anything for me. The animation style was, frankly, in my opinion, a bit pants. I would like to see it at the back end of the list rather than up in the 60s. But yeah, thank God it didn't make any higher than this.
Mike, we so should have had Phil on so many episodes of Tooncast so he could have backed me up.
No, we should have.
There's always beyond.
There we go.
No, because we're not talking about Johnny Bravo or Powerpuff Girls or Dexter's Laboratory again. Anyways.
So 2 of us think this should maybe be in the 90s or close to 100, and 2 of us are fine with it being in the 60s.
I mean, I'm okay with it where it is, but at the same time, the only reason why I say that is because of what the excuse Kevin has used as far as the iconicness of a show or a show's length. I mean, granted, this was only on 4 years, but like I said, this was one of the cartoons that launched Cartoon Network back in the day. Do I think it should have been lower? Probably, but it's okay where it is. At least it's not any higher.
Yeah, and 6 people did vote on it, so I guess it is what it is.
64.
And one day a lawman appeared with powers of Pop, Wolf, Puma, and Bear. Protector of peace, mystic man from afar. Champion of justice, martial Brave Star.
Very surprised that we find Brave Star at 64. And I'm going to go first. I had it ranked 85th. This was not on IGN's list, and I'm actually not surprised that it was not on IGN's list. I would have thought if this was going to make the list, we would have seen this last episode when we saw things like Cops and the like. 2 people, Pixel Dan and Scotty, had it in their top in the 20s. We had a couple people had it in the 60s. 6 people voted for it, so that's why it made the list. Phil and I both voted for it. I'm just a little surprised to see it this high on the list. Phil, how do you? You're the other person that voted. You had it at 62nd, and it falls in at 64. So are you thinking this is a good spot for this one?
I am very happy. Call me a very happy, very, very happy man. Yeah, it's I mean, yeah, come on, it's not, I will admit, it's not the greatest animated, you know, actual animation, but Brave Star as a character, as a, I mean, it's one of those shows I can still watch today. You know, I can stick the DVD and still watch it. So that's why it came, you know, that's why it is where it is. You know, '60s is a good spot for it, you know.
To me, it's one of those, again, that kind of got left behind or kind of forgotten by a lot of people, maybe. It's one of those that kind of flies under the radar as far as 80s action shows, just because it was overshadowed by, you know, so many other things that were going on. This was the time also when Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles hit the air. So I can get why some people forgot about it. I think it is a quality show. Like you said, I can watch it today still, too. Is it too high, Mike?
No.
No.
I just said no. It's not too high. And again, this isn't one that I really remember ever watching as a kid. So, I mean, I'm okay with it where it is. I don't think it's – I think it's one of those cartoons where it fits nicely in this segment, because I don't think it should have been any lower, really. This isn't like, you know, say – a Johnny Bravo or anything like that, you know, where it should have been lower, it should have been switched with another one, but, you know, I'm okay with it being where it is.
Steve?
Although it was not on my list, and I do not actually have any physical knowledge of this show, I do know that it is produced by or created by the same people that did, like, He-Man and She-Ra and all those.
Right.
I would say that based on that, if you were a fan of those at the time, you'll probably be a fan of this as well. And plus, it had a pretty nice, good voice cast.
Yeah. It was just kind of a good show. It was a little bit different spin on some of the stuff that we were seeing in the 80s. Like, I don't know. It just had some type of little magic to it for me that it kind of stuck with me. And I'm happy it made the list. I'm surprised. I would have thought this and Cops, if they were both going to make the list, would have both made the list near each other, I guess. But that's just me. And it was only on for one season, and it's going to be very similar to what's coming up next.
63. Tally-ho!
Wings of silver, wings of gold, silver, hard to metal, hard to real.
Well, all the 80s children know which show came in at number 63. Another one season 65 episoder came out a year before Brave Star, even though it ranks one higher. And I'm happy because I'm just happy it made the list. Partly Metal, Partly Steel, Silverhawks at number 63. And I'm very happy. I actually had this at 65 on my list, and it comes in at 63. I think this is a good spot. Again, I was surprised it got as much love as it did with six people voting for it. I would have expected this, Brave Star, Cops, all to be somewhere in the 80s and 90s if they made the list, but I'm happy they all have made the list. Mike? What?
No, when you first said a year before, I had to look back at the little capsule for Brave Star, because at first I thought it was going to be Mask, and I was like, oh, this is going to be a big F you. But no, I... I'm happy with where Silverhawks is, and as I've said before, the whole thing, if you listen to Tooncast from the beginning, if you start listening at the Thundercats episode 5 of Tooncast, throughout Tooncast's 2-year run, Kevin and I have had this argument over which is better, Thundercats or Silverhawks, as they were done by the same production company. They basically had the same male voice actors for the most part. And I always fall on Thundercats is better, and he falls on Silverhawks is better. Honestly, as a kid, I liked them both equally. I remember specifically having all of the Silverhawks toys. I had a majority of the Thundercats toys, and I'm happy with – I mean, Silverhawks, it was a very interesting concept, a very interesting show. It was something completely different from what Rankin Bass had done with Thundercats. And it was just very, very interesting. And I love the theme song, even though it is complete 80s cheesy theme song.
See, the difference between this one and Brave Star and Cops for me, even though I love Cops and Brave Star, I would not have been pissed or surprised if they didn't make the list. I would have been pissed if Silverhawks didn't make the list. Mike, do you think we're going to see Thundercats at any point?
It better be, like, above top 50. It better at least be in the top 50.
Phil, your opinions on Silverhawks making the list at all? Did it warrant a spot or not?
In all honesty, I have zero opinion because this is one of the 80 shows that never made it over here. I mean, my only exposure to Silverhawks is a what do the real things that you look through?
Viewmasters.
Viewmaster. Yeah, that's my only exposure to Silverhawks is a Viewmaster's reel. So yeah, it's you know if just you know coming off the back of the fact it's you know, it's made by the same people who made Thundercats, you know, fair enough.
Right.
I give it props for that, but like I say, I've had zero exposure to it apart from a Viewmaster reel, so.
Okay. Steve, does Silverhawks warrant a spot on our list, and does Thundercats warrant a spot on our list?
I would definitely agree with that, although Silverhawks was not on my list. I would still say that that and Thundercats definitely belong on the list, because they are some iconic-type shows that... I don't know, just the following behind the two.
Well, they made the 80s what the 80s were, in a way. They helped make the 80s known for this type of cartoon, and like you said, they have cult followings, especially Thundercats.
Well, especially Thundercats in the sense that it's coming back. It's 2011, yes. Here it is, and it's returning, just like Transformers keeps returning, and G.I. Joe. So this is like pretty much the year of shows coming back from our past that were actually good shows. So, I mean, it's not... too far out of the question to see Silverhawks possibly get a new show as well.
Are you expecting, like Mike, to see Thundercats coming in later in the countdown?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
As far as Silverhawks, this is one last note from me. Like Steve said, I wouldn't be surprised if they did an updating of it. My only problem with an updated version of Silverhawks is you're not going to have, unless you get an 80s band, unless you get that original band to update their original theme song, that would be my only problem with a Silverhawks reboot, is if they tried to reimagine it and have a different theme. Because, I mean, seriously,
yeah.
That theme's everybody.
It's like Thundercats, too.
As soon as you hear Tally Hawk cry, as soon as you hear the Tally Hawk bird call, you know what song that is.
Yeah, I mean, that would be like the new Thundercats not having the Thundercats. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Has to have,
yeah.
I know that was a bad attempt at that, but I
was yes, it
trying
was.
Too hard.
Very much so.
Also interesting to note, just last thing for this one, that both Brave Star and Silverhawks, I don't know if I mentioned it for both of them, but neither one made the IGN list.
Mm. Well, IGN, they're morons, so.
62.
I think it's time to blow this scene. Get everybody and stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
So not sure everybody will know what show we're talking about with that theme song, but coming in at number 62 is Cowboy Bebop. I know a lot of people say this is a great show. It was on in 2001, only one season of 26 episodes. IGN had this 14th. Double D had it 17th, JT from Saskatoon had it 10th, and Birdman Dodd had it 6th. So apparently it was supposed to be a really good show for those people that like it. I absolutely know nothing about this. Mike, I'm guessing you know nothing about this.
I'm hoping Phil can help us here on Cowboy Bebop, because I...
No, you're in for a spot of bad luck there. I have zero... You know,
wow!
This is one of those shows that one of the guys that writes for our site, he's a huge Bebop fan. I mean, but for me, it's one I've never seen. I know of the show, but it's not one I've actually seen. So
it seems like one of those shows that either you haven't been exposed to it, but it seems like those people that are have it in high regards.
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah, I would agree with that.
So I mean, I'm just gonna have to trust the fact that three people had it in their top 20. So if it fell at number 62, like I've said multiple times, you know, any anime show that makes our list must be a good anime show. Steve, any thoughts on Cowboy Bebop?
I myself have seen this show.
Oh, okay.
Well, thank God.
I haven't seen a lot of it, but I have seen it. And this was along the same time that I watched a lot of different random crap that showed up on Cartoon Network and the like. I believe it showed up on Toonami at some point, but... It it's basically as it says, it's like a futuristic cowboy, you know, bounty hunter, that kind of thing. I mean, they're just, it's one of those things where they're constantly on the run. Crime is rampant. I mean, it just, you got people trying to kill each other off in every episode. Actually, I mean, it's pretty wild. So I can see where it ranks where it does. But I myself do not care for it all that much, okay. Which is why I've only seen very few episodes.
Fighting crime in a Western time.
Exactly. So, I mean, we only have one more show that's going to make the cut for this episode. So let's see what's our last show in for this episode.
61.
There's 104 days of summer vacation, and school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe
building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist, hey, or giving a monkey a shower.
So, as I said before, we might as well rename episode 22 TFG1 Mike's episode, because we already gave him Dexter's Lab and Johnny Bravo, and we end the episode with the 2007 show Phineas and Ferb.
Yes, yes we do.
2007, it's still ongoing. It did not make IGN's list, probably because IGN's list came out in 2009, where this show was basically just still in its infancy. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm very surprised that it actually made the list, honestly. But for those of you that don't know, Phineas and Ferb, they're stepbrothers. They have these wacky adventures during summer, and it is always summertime, or in the case of their holiday special, Christmas vacation, it's wintertime. But they never actually are shown going back to school. They're talking about making the summer the best summer they can ever have, and they're basically like, I don't want to say baby geniuses, because they're like 8 and 9 years old. They're you know, that type of age range. But they're just super geniuses. Really, really awesome show. One of the best things about the show is, like Dexter's Lab, where you have just us friends, they have Perry, their pet platypus, who is also Secret Agent P, who works for this this agency to fight the evil Dr. Doofenshmirtz. And it's such a great family-friendly show. This was one of Disney Channel's best animated shows, I think, outside of their specific cartoons that have, like, their – like, outside of, like, DuckTales and stuff like that. Like, of this, like, the last 10 years, Phineas and Ferb is one of their best animated shows, I think.
It's had a lot of critical acclaim, an Annie nomination, a Daytime Emmy nomination, a Daytime Emmy win, and a couple of Emmy stuff. So it's got a lot of awards and whatnot. I want to go to Phil next, because we had a couple people. We had one person that had this number 3 on their entire list, Flava Dave. JT and Glade had it in their top 20. Phil, you had this down at 92, so is it too high at 61?
Compared to what we've had so far, I would say yes, but, I mean, it made my list just off the platypus, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
If you could just make that show, I would be happy. You know, Phineas and Ferb, fair enough. Their adventures are sometimes quite ridiculously funny, but, yeah, it made my list all down to Perry the Platypus, you know. But,
okay.
Yeah, I can 61... I think it's a little too high. Maybe top 8. Maybe in the 80s. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I actually had this on my list at one point at either 99 or 100, and then it eventually got bumped off of my list by something. Because I have seen a few episodes. It's not necessarily my thing, but I can understand why people like it. It's way better than Dexter's and Johnny Bravo and stuff like that. So I think it's all right that it's ahead of those. But like I said, I would have put Dexter's and Johnny Bravo at 99 and 100. So to me, this one should have been like 80-something. I want to go back to Mike for a second, though. Is this a situation where you're just happy this made the list regardless of where it fell?
Yeah, because I didn't even think it would make the list.
Okay.
And I think that just for me personally, because it is one of my favorites, this was one of the ones, and I ranked it 49th. Yeah, I ranked it 49th. But I mean, like, for me personally, the 48 shows on my list that are above it, I ranked it 49th just to make sure it would get on the list, and I have to send a shout-out to Flava Dave over at Pop Culture Network. He put it at third, so I'm sure the two of us are what got...
Well, JT and Glade had it in their top 20, so...
Right,
the
right. JT and Glade, you know, between the four of us, you know, that's what got it here at 61. For those of you, if it's not your thing, that's fine. As far as Phil, he wants just the Perry the Platypus cartoon show. I would agree with that, but I also would say that the whole, and I know Phil probably knows this, but the whole point of the entire Phineas and Ferb show is that the two adventures, the boys' adventure with what they're creating and then Perry's adventure with Dr. Doofenshmirtz, is they entangle each other, and that's what makes the boys' stuff disappear. And their sister Candace, who is voiced by Ashley Tisdale, can't bust them for what they're doing every summer. Now, I know they are working on a direct-to-TV Disney Channel movie for Phineas and Ferb. They're also, I believe, working on a theatrical movie, an animated theatrical movie for Phineas and Ferb. And I know in one of those, the boys actually, and spoiler alert, it's on Wikipedia, so I just know this from looking it up. But for those who don't want to be spoiled, the plot of one of these movies is the boys actually find out that Agent P, Perry, is Agent P, and they go along on an adventure with him to save the world. So I think that it would be great to just have the Perry the Platypus show, but and it would be awesome in its own right, but I like the meshing of the two. And like I said, I'm just happy that it's on the list. I can't believe that it made the list.
I have no problem with it making the list. I just think it's way too high. Steve, does this deserve to be on the list?
No.
At least not at 61.
I think it should be much lower than that, but that's because I find it, along with a lot of the newer Disney programs, to be kind of asinine.
No, this show is not asinine. Some of the other ones, I will agree with you, they are. But this show is not asinine. You are asinine.
No, you are an asshat. But that's besides the fact. This show looks freaking retarded.
No.
The premise may be fine.
Fishhooks looks retarded. This show looks awesome.
I'm sorry. They look pretty much the closest thing to each other that you could possibly get on the Disney Channel. If it had Kim Possible looks, I would agree that this was a good show. But it does not.
So the point is, everybody that's listening to this right now, weigh in on this debate on the episode 22 page and let us know if you think Phineas and Ferb or any of these shows deserve to be on the list or not. So there you have it. That has been the next 20 entries on the GeekCast Radio Network Top 100 Animated Series of All Time list. And to hear us continue with number 60 through 41, make sure you tune in to episode 23.
And we would like to thank Phil for taking the time out of his sleep to actually appear on the countdown.
Thanks, Phil.
Hey, cheers.
You've just heard 80 through 61 of the Top 100 Animated Series of All Time. Stay tuned until next time when we reveal 60 through 41.